The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Marty Sheargold.
Yes, Marty's off the leash. He's getting set up. He's got a few gripes, a few things he'll be getting off his chest. Correct, Marty?
Do I talk now, Tone, or do we play the song?
I think we have to go straight to the song.
Fire it off!
Hey, hang on. Let me just do a bit of sizzle,
though.
Okay.
Sorry, mate. Sizzle it up.
Big Brother, is it any fruitier than what was going out on number 96 30 years ago?
Yeah, true. Very true.
We'll be asking that. Stupid crime, the mistress of disguise. Do you share an arse tattoo with somebody? Bird smuggling. Is it all it's cracked up to be? We're tackling the big ones, I'll get this. But hey, don't panic. There's still Teddy Geiger, Pete Murray, and Billy Joel.
Unfortunately, they're going to basically be wiped out by the upcoming triple whammy.
That's enough out of you. Underworld, underneath the radar. Get this, right around the nation on Triple M. Myself, Tony Martin, for another week. Richard Marsland.
Tony, how you doing?
Getting the chair ready for Ed Cavalier's return.
Absolutely. It seems to be okay.
And have you got some classy music there?
Sure do.
We are still brought to you by the Mercedes-Benz Vito, the van of the year. We won't hear otherwise. Other vans just fooling themselves, frankly. But for the normal van price, that's what I've got to keep pointing out.
Wonderful.
And nobody likes getting around in a Vito more than our guest today. Marty Sheargold, give him a round.
Huge, huge fan of the Vito. And the wonderful people at Mercedes-Benz.
It's classy.
It's early, Tone. I can tell you that much.
Have you said...
Check on the early.
You've done nothing but whinge about the time since you got in here.
It's almost dark when I got up. That's not right, Tone. And it is not a nice day. I don't care about the Italians or any of their mates.
Yeah, what happened
I should
there?
Be in bed, Tone.
Did they win the Italians?
We won the World Cup.
Right. Are you Italian, Marty?
No, but I'm just working off the theory that we lost... to the Italians in rather controversial circumstances.
So
therefore, the World Cup is ours.
Okay, fair enough.
That'll annoy all the Italian listeners enormously, and that was my intention.
The cheats.
Crazy-legged Italians.
We learn so much about you when you come in, Marty. So many inquiries whether you're still available for pyrotechnics after
certainly we... Certainly am. I'm a flashpot specialist.
What was the last gig you did? I mean, Van Halen.
Bon Jovi, Rod Laver Arena.
Right. Is that when they were coming down on the Flying Foxes?
Certainly was.
For Living in a Prayer? We're on a prayer, pardon.
Well, what was controversial about my early flashpot work was that Lordy at Eurovision did a lot of this gear, but I was one of the first guys to do it, which is attach a flashpot to the neck of the guitar.
Mm. Really?
A lot of bands have tried since, some with mixed success, but certainly Lordy really hammered it when they won Eurovision this year. But prior to Lordy getting on the flashpot on the neck of the guitar... That was some of my earliest gear.
So when people do that, they might just say, oh, let's do a Sheargold on this one.
Yeah, let's gold it up.
Marty, I'm
let's
looking...
Go gold.
I'm trying to find some stories that you guys wouldn't have...
so many stories.
You wouldn't have covered on the... I heard some sizzle the other day. I didn't hear the segment itself, but I heard you Ford promoting that you were going to be talking about the stars on a hunger strike.
Yeah, now, Thief wanted to get that out, but it had such a high what we call yawn factor.
You didn't ever got to it.
I wouldn't let her do it.
All right.
She tried to do it for 3 days in a row. I kept saying, you know, we're not a magazine-style radio show. Keep punching away. You know, try and sneak it in under the radar. Call it something I won't suspect and then see if you can get it in.
Maybe I'll just put that one aside.
It's a story about Sean Penn and a few of his mates having one day off the food, isn't it?
It's not even one whole day.
Isn't it?
It's called a rolling fast.
It's a joke is what it is.
So someone doesn't eat. Susan Sarandon goes, oh, I'm not going to eat this sandwich. And after a couple of hours, oh, someone else will have to take over not eating the sandwich.
Because I've got to eat that roll.
Then off she goes, then someone else sits on her chair and doesn't eat it. So it's like a fast that lasts about 2.5 hours.
It's just classic Hollywood. Sean Penn, he's a mover and shaker. He's a power player.
Is that commitment to the cause? Not eating a sandwich for 2.5 hours?
Very anti-everything, Sean Penn.
You're right, there is a high yawn factor there. Let's move on to testicles. Listen to this story over the weekend. It was the bulge in his groin that alerted customs officers as the passenger was about to board a flight from Sydney to Bangkok. Pressed for an explanation, Wayne Frederick Floyd aroused further suspicion when he told the officers, I have a hernia. Sometimes one of my testicles rises.
Well, so far so good.
A strip search revealed 6 eggs hidden inside a stocking in his underwear.
Hello.
2 of the eggs were damaged, but the other 4 were immediately taken to Taronga Zoo for hatching and turned out to contain cockatoos and galahs, both of which are on the endangered species list.
Budgie smugglers. literally budgie smugglers.
Yeah.
But imagine that. So you've got six eggs hidden in your underpants, and you're going to try and pull that off as, oh, malfunctioning plums.
My problem is...
that's all that is, officer.
I mean, that's just two massive nuts. Sorry, sir. Can I board, please? I can't get any of that sort of stuff happening with the size of my two testicales, Tone. They're massive, you know what I'm saying?
They're ostrich eggs.
They are. Undies, your normal undies. Now, I've had to say to Mum, stop buying me undies because you don't get it. I'm a man. She had me in kids' undies for years. It was weird.
What is the sheer gold V?
I started buying my own undies, Tone.
What is the sheer gold V? My wife's told me to ask you about the sheer gold V. Is this some fashion item you're selling on your show?
The sheer gold V?
You can't even remember talking about it.
I'm not sure what it is, Tone.
You take no notes, do you?
It's my body shape. Yeah, it's my body shape.
Oh, right.
Because Nicolas Cage went through a stage where he wanted his waist the size of a snake. He was actually quoted as saying, I want my waist to be the size of a snake.
Right.
And that's when I invented the sheer gold V, because I'm massive upstairs in the upper body.
Sure.
And then I cut down, I chiseled down to what I call the sheer gold V. I chiseled down to a waist the size of a badger.
Is that lifting all the flash pots that gets you to that weight?
Flash pot lifting, and feet sitting on my lap helps. It works my abs.
The show operates. Well, that's
some of your listeners won't even know who Feef is.
It's certainly not Adelaide listeners.
No traction there.
We heard about your trouble. What was he slagging off Ann Wills or something?
There's a bit of Ann Wills gear and a bit of the Richard. Who was the newsreader there? The crazy newsreader in Adelaide.
Well, there's several. There's Graham Goodings, Keith Martin.
Keith Martin, the guy that writes his own books. he's a weatherman / novelist. Now he puts one of those Adelaide almanacs together. Come and check out this part of town. I'm Keith. And he's one of those dudes that reads the weather, and he's quite litigious, isn't he, Keith? He's a bit of he's right on it. He doesn't like anyone commenting about him, but he's one of those guys who says stuff like 27 degrees in Tarpunga tomorrow, great day for drying, ladies.
And this is why you're not on in Adelaide anymore. I just think, look, if you're smuggling birds' eggs, is the swollen testicle really the answer? I mean, so basically what you're saying is, well, there's two of them there, and there's another four coming in behind.
Yeah.
It's not a convincing scenario.
No, it's not. Not once you get the duds off. It's fine if you've got pants over the undies, but when you can see five or six lumps in a man's pants, you know that he's packing more than two of anything in there.
He's probably smuggling galahs. Not merely grotesquely deformed.
Keith Martin, haven't thought about him for years.
Welcome to our show. This is how it works. Big stories. There's just one more before we wind up.
Beautiful.
Rob Mills, you know Millsy?
Millsy, yeah, of Vanity, what was his song?
Miss Vanity,
Miss
was it?
Vanity fame.
He had to go overseas because people were stirring him about, you know, his relationship with Paris Hilton. He's gone to Germany, more stirring, beaten up, thrown in jail. Now, listen to this, the papers are shocked. His web diary's gone strangely silent.
Oh, no, Are they saying he's incarcerated or gone missing?
He's just lost it. He just can't do the web diary anymore. What was on there? You mean strangely silent. What was actually on there? Nothing.
Had a beer yesterday. Guys in the band haven't rung. What's that about?
Being stirred again. Rightfully so, I guess.
Mum reckons I should go to Germany. I might just do that.
Haven't accepted. I'm an idiot yet, but... can only be a matter of days away.
But it's bizarre that he wanted to get away from Aussies and then he went to Germany.
Who's checking it? Who's going there every day?
It's hard to keep up the blogging on the Hooshkow.
You should go there every day and do a Millsy update. I mean, that's the sort of thing you could do. Whereas I would have to turn a computer on. Actually, I'd just get someone else to do it and give me a hard copy. But
that's a job for Ed Cavalli when he gets
back. Yeah, get Ed onto it. He loves that kind of gear.
Yeah, well, there's no sign of him as yet.
Millsy. Oh, Ed might have seen Millsy. They were both in Germany at the same time.
We have no confirmation that Ed was ever in Germany.
Oh, really?
I think he's just hiding out in Bondi somewhere, mistress of disguise style, sleeping with a range of women who are impressed by his new status on the Rager. That's what he's up to. Oh, God, where am I pretending to be from? I'll say Prague. Just quick, text me some information about the World Cup. We have no evidence that he was ever in Germany.
They were hardly exclusives. He was pretty much just telling us what you could find out in the paper.
I'm being gestured. Apparently the show is almost over.
I have heard that Ed has slept with two detectives in Bondi.
And he's smuggling galahs in his enormous underpants. That'd be Teddy Geiger for you, I will. Geiger. on
Sorry, Tone, I talked out. So you do that gear.
Doesn't matter.
You do it beautifully.
There's no rules on Get This on Triple M with Marty Sheargold sitting in, inventor of the Sheargold V system of fitness.
The V, and partly responsible for traction and sizzle.
What about cut-through? Do you get a lot of cut-through on your show?
I let Fife do that gear.
Sometimes we're told, look, you had good traction today. There was plenty of sizzle, but the cut-through wasn't there.
Cut-through wasn't there. Mm. What, how are your time spent listening figures, Tone? That's the one that obsesses them.
They haven't got to me on that one yet.
Ah, it'll be fine. If they haven't got to you, you're not in any trouble.
Yeah, I don't know, the guests are up on blocks, that's what I'm told.
Oh, yeah, we've had a guests up on blocks meeting too.
How did that turn out?
Well, it's only me and Fife, so one of us is in trouble.
Brownie.
Well, Barrett's, Mark Barretta from Sunrise. He's our favourite guest, I'll probably get rid of him, because we like him.
You want to get Jodie Harris on as a regular. I reckon she'd be a top correspondent for this
Rebecca. Yeah, she would be.
Now, what's her name, though? Because we've gone with Mistress of Disguise, as have many of the papers. Some are going with Catch Me If You Can, Bandit, which we feel has been done. There was that film. Yeah. The Contra Queen. That's Contra Queen. The one the Australian are backing. And now, over the weekend, the Sydney Telegraph have busted out Madam Con.
Madam Con. As in the fruiterer.
As in Marika.
The alter ego.
Let's just call her Marika from now on.
Marika.
What about this? She's been, over the weekend, she wants everyone to see that she's wearing her love for her boyfriend, Andrew Twining, the policeman, on her body. She thrust her left hand out of the window of the enclosed dock at Sydney Central Local Court to reveal the name Andrew tattooed on the inside of her wrist. He's got a matching tattoo on his ass. Right cheek, exactly the same, she yelled out.
Jesus.
Andrew Twining, why isn't he here? Ask the officers where he is. He's being protected by police, said Madam Con.
Now, Tone, is it true that he eventually got round to dobbing her in?
He dobbed her in. He told the police that his girlfriend was in Irish pub Scruffy Murphy's. And if you had a look at the Mistress of Disguise, she is a bit of a Scruffy Murphy.
Yeah, I could imagine finding her at the Murphs, the Scruffsters. She's rough, rough ass, isn't she? Around the edges, particularly. She's ordinary. She dobbed him in quick, though, didn't she? As soon as she was in the van. Find out where my boyfriend is.
He's got thanks, love. A tattoo on an ass.
God, she dobbed him in too quickly. It's un-Australian. It's a bit Irish, in fact.
Why? Okay, matching tattoos.
Mm.
He's got it on the ass.
She's gone in her wrist.
What's that? How is that matching tattoos? That's not matching.
I mean, I could think of a couple of scenarios where it might have unfolded that way. None of them are suitable.
They'll all be happening in prison. But, you know, and there's a lot of talk about him being undercover. You know, that it was all a scam. He wasn't really... It was all something he was up to lure in the Mistress of Disguise.
Oh, so he's like the mastermind behind it all.
Yeah, except, you know, ass tattoo. That's deep cover.
Yeah, that's deep cover. I think he was probably gullible in the early days, sucked in by her, you know, ability to change shape and stuff. Power twins.
She's a shape changer.
She was a bucket of water for about 3 weeks.
She filled in for that Adelaide weatherman for a couple of weeks.
Keithy Martin. Yeah. She did a brief stint Channel 9 in Adelaide.
But you're saying he's litigious.
I believe he is.
Yeah. Is that how he's promoted? The litigious weatherman every morning.
That's how he opens his segment.
Okay.
I get nervous when you talk about Keith because it was programmed into me in Adelaide. Don't ever mention Keith. Mm. Don't talk to Keith. Don't even look Keith in the eye if you see him.
This show goes to air half an hour later in Adelaide, so this bit will be cut out.
Nip it all out, guys.
It won't be there. You know, now we're talking about Madam Con, and, you know, she seems to me that'd be a great sort of wild card intruder for the Big Brother house.
That's not a great idea.
Steal Galen's identity.
Are you...
There is one.
Are you across Big Brother, Tony? You're watching it? Where are we at with the BB house?
There's so much to get to on Big Brother this morning and the controversy of whether it's, you know, perverting our morality. We'll be talking about that soon, but Matt Dow, who builds all the sketches on this program, does a fine job, taped a fantastic discussion on Big Brother. You know, people say that they're stupid in that house, Marty.
No, I find that hard to believe.
I don't believe it at all. Have a listen to this discussion.
Six or one, half a dozen of the other.
What's that mean?
Six or one.
No, it's six of one.
No, it's not. It's six or one, half a dozen of the other.
You're joking, right?
No, I'm not. I'm serious. All right.
That doesn't make any sense.
One half a dozen. of the other.
Seven?
It's six of one. What? Means six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Guys,
means that they've both contributed.
No, my dad has done it here. I know what it means. All right, hear this out. Six or half a dozen? It's the same. So you go, six or one half a dozen of the other.
Or one half a dozen
of the other.
Well, that's not how it's supposed to be said.
See?
Oh, don't. That's mind-numbing.
Maths, philosophy, science.
How's the guy who eventually just, at one point, just goes, you're joking. was the guy saying he believes it's six or one?
Yes.
Half dozen.
Of the other.
Yeah. Who is that? He should be evicted immediately for being simple and made to sit with Gretel's daughter and choose what she'll be wearing on the next episode.
He was trying to explain it to the other bloke. Yeah. He was drawing a diagram, but he couldn't see properly because he did have the other bloke's testicles covering his eyes. Okay, there's more coming up on this show.
Get this.
They are bastards as far as most consumers are concerned.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito on Triple M.
Offensive things on TV. Marty, do you think there are still offensive things going out on Australian TV in this day and age?
While ever Gretel Colleen has a spot in front of a camera.
You're a big fan of Gretel, aren't you?
Yeah.
You like the older ladies.
Yeah, I think Gretel, I think she's peaking. Now, she got maybe one more series in her. But if she goes to BB07, no, she might be peaking now.
All right, let's find out next on Get This. Thank you, Billy Joel, for contributing to the sizzle here at Get This on Triple M around the nation. Richard Marsland on the buttons, Marty Sheargold in the sidecar today. Marty, you're talking about Gretel Colleen.
I'm a massive fan of Gretel, particularly over the whole turkey slap thing.
Yes, now...
She sort of started out, and I'm always quite reluctant to discuss Gretel and her opinions, because I don't know her.
No.
But she sort of started out giving it a bit of... they're two lovely guys.
Yeah.
They're lovely guys.
Just cards, a bit of character.
A bit of tomfoolery, shenanigans. Then the media's turned on them and she's just disappeared, shut up, never said another word about it. Because she realised public opinion was against them.
Right.
Therefore against her.
Mm.
And her fashion sense, obviously, goes without saying.
But they say that, you know, the people who are involved in the incident say the House promotes it. You know, that that was the House's fault.
Well, I think if you get the level of IQ that's kicking around in that house and throw some alcohol in there, you're going to have some problems.
And put them in beds together.
With your Galens of the world.
They have to kiss each other, that sort of stuff. I mean, isn't it, it's a bit like saying, you know, here's the house, we've poured petrol all over everything, we've left a lot of straw and, you know, tinder sort of, you know, sticks everywhere.
Mm.
Here's your box of matches. Whatever you do, don't start any fires.
Exactly. What would be great is if they evicted beds instead of guests. If they just went one bed at a time until there's like 14 people but one bed left. It's just a turkey slap. It's a turkey farm then, Tone.
And then we want to get Ian Turpey in there for some turpey slapping.
I saw the Terps in the paper the other day. It's another story.
The Terps indeed. What about this, though? More Big Brother bombshells over the weekend. Big Brother insiders have revealed the show's sleazy casting calls involving nudity and abuse.
No. What, they make them get nude?
Apparently, former housemate Heath Tournier said that potential players must parade nude for Big Brother producers.
You're kidding.
The audition process also calls for hopefuls to spout abuse and perform lap dances.
What?
Maybe it was just his. I don't know.
Maybe he just pulled the short straw. It was the end of the day. The producers had had a few wines and thought, right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with this bloke, guys. Gather around. Seriously, don't tell him when he comes in. Make him go nude and do a lap dance on Susan.
Some abuse at the same time.
What is going on?
It says, but listen to what Tournier says. I feel comfortable nude, so I walked around nude as part of the audition. The producers want to know what contestants look like, nude. I cannot say whether they're looking for anything specific, but they call that part of the audition the nudie run.
Oh, yeah, they try and disguise it as some sort of fun, wacky student term, when in actual fact it's a group of middle-aged people looking at nude young people. Cool, get them in the show. She'll have a shower without a top on.
It sounds all very Abu Ghraib in there at Channel 10, doesn't it?
Any Hessian sacks? battery cables?
In a growing shame file, former housemates say turkey slapping is actually rife in the Big Brother house.
You're kidding.
Females often use their breasts to retaliate to the turkeys.
Mm.
Producers deliberately cast well-endowed males and busty females. They don't encourage or discourage you to have sex, says former contestant Iga Vermeski, But there are condoms in the first aid kit in case of emergency. If that isn't a single, I don't know what is.
Has anyone ever had sex on the Big Brother show? I mean, there was the unfortunate doona arrangement.
Throw the dancing doona.
The dancing doona thing with, I think, was it Peter Timms?
I'm not sure who it was.
I can't remember.
Neither
I think it was...
Wasn't Keith Martin involved in that?
I think Keith Martin.
Adelaide weatherman Keith Martin was briefly involved, I believe. Do not quote me, Adelaide.
Allegedly.
Relax, allegedly. But no, I don't think anyone's ever gone the whole... there was the G-string in the rewards room bath incident.
That's right.
Went a bit pear-shaped for a couple of them. Mm. And then they all come out and go, nah, didn't do it.
Yeah. But it happens overseas. Like, was it in the Netherlands? It was 25 minutes after the start of episode one. Contestants were already on the job.
You'll do.
Quick! It's only show. 6 months in this house.
I mean, you really put your cards on the table early. I mean, you're 25 minutes in. You would be in the kitchen now. I mean, what if in week two you just realise you've made the biggest mistake of your life, Galen style?
Okay.
Look, it just goes from worse to worse for Channel 10 and Big Brother. If they're seriously auditioning people in the nude, that is a serious issue.
Are other shows doing that? Do you know?
Not sure.
Peter Roseland's Can We Help? Is that, do they have nude auditions for those panels?
Einstein Factor, I'm fairly sure. Pete Berner makes some of the guys do a bit of nude gear.
Mikey Robbins, he'll just parade around nude for no reason.
Loves nude gear. He did a nude run at Bondi once.
Look, but is Big Brother corrupting our morality? Is it really worse than what we've been watching on your normal Aussie TV for about 30 years? Let's find out next on Get This. That'd be Pete Murray opportunity here. Get This on Triple M. It's Marty Sheargold co-hosting today. Let's climb the mountain. Let's get straight up there. We're talking about Australia's wildly swinging moral pendulum. There was a great article in the Melbourne Herald Sun over the weekend by Brian Patterson where he's talking about how, you know, television standards have changed. Racism and sexism, which used to be the mainstays of the ratings battle.
It was commonplace.
40 years ago, they're out now, while materialism and swearing are back in.
Ooh, he's noticed an interesting shift.
He has. The Australian moral compass is definitely awry. Use of the F word, which had Graham Kennedy taken off air in 1975, is now common on TV. But some scenes from the 1970s drama series Number 96, starring sex kitten Abigail, couldn't be screened on a recent 40-year anniversary special because the full frontal nudity, once groundbreaking, is considered gratuitous today. There is a particular quality to 70s nudity, do you find, Marty?
Yeah, it's grainy. It's old school.
It's sort of flabbier.
Yeah, but it's sexier in a way too because everything's so, you know, polished and airbrushed now.
Yeah.
You don't get the feeling that you're looking at a man or a woman anymore.
You don't get that Confessions of a Window Cleaner kind of nudity.
You don't get that Jack Thompson centrefold kind of, jeez, one stubby too many, Jack. That kind of feel is gone. In fact, 1 hour photo on the weekend with Robin Williams, full frontal nudity in that. Who knew?
Right.
I'm just ticking along, minding my own business on Saturday night, thinking, I wonder how this night's going to bang!
Not Robin Williams, sure.
No,
thank goodness.
Some minor player, woman style, answered the door, dressing gown open, bang. All full right. frontal nudity.
Well, that was pretty normal on Australian TV. I saw, there's a TV series of Alvin Purple, and there was one episode of it on the Comedy Channel, and it was just Graham Blundell, Ghoulies Ahoy, just running around his flat.
Was he dancing?
He was dancing. It was all, everything was wobbling.
Yeah.
And yeah, you couldn't do that now.
No, God, no.
But Number 96, and there's a fantastic new DVD out on Umbrella Entertainment, who do a top job restoring old things for DVD, and I've been through it. I've had a look at Number 96 to see what all the fuss is about because we didn't get it in New Zealand.
No, there's a fair amount of nudity on the front cover.
Just the front cover should be banned.
The front cover alone, let alone getting into the two disc collector's edition tone of Number 96.
But Brian Patterson in his article has tracked down a few people from Number 96 to see what they think of Big Brother and how it compares to what they were up to. Deborah Gray, the first woman to strip on Australian TV in Number 96, says Big Brother is dull and tacky and adds to society's moral confusion. When I was in Number 96, appearing nude was the height of revolution, a political act. It was all about freedom.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Adds Ken James, the first Australian man to bare his buttocks on TV in the 1970s series The Box. He finds contemporary television pretty rank. The gratuitous things I sometimes see do worry me. What, like your own buttocks?
Yeah, he'd find it. He wouldn't find it as rank if he had a job.
There's Fun in the Kitchen still not going. I used to love Ken James' Fun in the Kitchen.
Yeah.
He had so much fun.
In the kitchen.
More fun than you would think would be possible in a kitchen. There's been a big change in direction over the years, says Ken James. First man to bare his buttocks on Australian TV.
What a great title.
The nudity today is gratuitous,
yep.
And it was political back in the days of Number 96.
Mm.
Well, let's have a look. Here, I'll give you an example of how a nude scene would unfold on Number 96. I know you can't see it, but you can picture it. Listen to this.
Will Don Finlayson fall deeply in love with Grant Chandler, the new boy next door?
Will Giovanni be exposed and arrested as a jewel thief?
Will Norma Whittaker accept Weppo's proposal of marriage?
Will the hooded rapist strike again?
Sorry, that was just a bit of sizzle.
I was wondering what that was, Tone. I knew it was sizzle, but I didn't know how it fit into the fry pan of Get This.
Sorry, that was just a bit of pre-promotion for the clip you're about to hear. Oh. Okay, here comes the gratuitous nudity. Check it out.
You've got a patient in there.
Mrs. Horton here already?
No. Young girl I picked up down the TAB this morning.
But I can't possibly see her now.
Now, go on, in you go.
But, Graham, what's her name?
Miss Hemingway.
And what's her problem?
Oh, I don't know, except she thinks she's Lady Godiva now. Come on in with you.
And so the psychiatrist goes in his office, there's a nude woman sitting in the chair.
Miss Hemingway?
Oh, Dr. Wilkinson. Now, look, I know how busy you are, Doctor, so I'll come straight to the point. I'm very worried about my peeping Toms.
Not gratuitous. That was a political act right there. Viva la revolution. Hang on, a psychiatric patient who thinks she's Lady Godiva.
Worried about her peeping Toms.
You've made your point, Ken James.
I bet the writers pushed the chair back away from the table on that one. The peeping Toms, Larry.
But it's not just nudity on Number 96.
Mm.
Outrageous drug use. Children shooting up heroin.
No.
Would that be acceptable on television today? Could you even do that in an R-rated movie?
No.
Children shooting up heroin. Not advocating it, but have a listen to this.
A hypodermic? Oh, Teresa, that's mainlining. Well, I didn't want to go that far. You can get really hooked on that stuff. Don't you believe it? They only say that to put us off. Well, they want us to have a good time. Now, show me your arm. But, Teresa, I'm not sure. You read so many awful things. They only say that. This way it goes straight into the bloodstream. The effect is instantaneous. It's wild. You'll be way up there. But it's dangerous. People have died from taking it. Kid, wake up to yourself. Get with it. The oldies have their drugs. Why can't we have ours?
What's that?
Mainlining.
Like even in a David Lynch film, you wouldn't have a couple of little primary school kiddies shooting up, would you?
That is just... Is that on the Collector's Edition 2 disc set? Because
so
that
is
a mainlining.
That's right.
What year are we talking
about? Got all the terms down.
I mean...
1976, so...
That is unbelievable, isn't it? That's 30 years ago. They're talking about kids mainlining.
That's right.
So it was a sort of sending the message that it's full on, it's serious, you know, yeah. You don't want to hook yourself into this scene. But still, I mean...
So, you know, really, is Big Brother, you know, is it anything new, really? I mean, we see things all the time that appall us on TV, and that's what we're talking about on Talkback Mountain. Call us up with anything you've seen that's appalled you. What have you seen, Marty, that's shocked you?
Well, apart from the full frontal nudity in One Hour Photo the other night and Gretel's fashion sense as an ongoing, continuing saga in my mind's eye, can you get back to me, Tony?
Okay. What have you got, Marcel?
Oh, I mean, all I can think of is the Big Brother house and watching Friday Night Live up the other night. Oh, not Friday Night Live.
The games.
The late night show. You know, the one that goes from, say, 11:30 till about 1:30 in the morning.
Goldman.
With Mike Goldman. And for a good 7 minutes, all they were showing was Perry got up. Everyone else was asleep, but Perry got up and just started sitting on the couch, and they kept that camera angle on her for 7 minutes. She wasn't doing anything at all.
She was
just sitting on the couch having a cup of tea. That's television, ?
That was enough to get her voted out, too.
Yeah, exactly. It was that incident.
Kerri-Ann Kennelly recently found herself in Ottawa, I think. That was
right.
Her new mate, the young, energetic, happy-go-lucky guy,
I haven't seen this. What's going on? She got a toy boy, Kerri-Anne.
Yeah, he used to just sell stuff and do the silent auction.
Right.
Now he's kicked it up a gear and he talks. That's shocking.
That is shocking. There'll be turkey slapping next on that show. What I saw that shocked me was Hey Hey by Request.
Oh, yeah, I missed it. Was it on?
It was. Who's requesting it?
Daryl.
Okay. But my wife spotted something in the end credits. She said, if you watch the end credits of Hey Hey by Request, the hairdresser's name goes up. You know, you'll often see hairdresser, obviously, sure, in the end credits. But then underneath her name, it's got a phone number.
Contact details.
<Yeah. laughs>
You don't expect that.
And funnily enough, they had the same thing for Daryl. But have you seen something that's shocked and appalled you on Australian TV? Give us a call, 133353. That's Fatboy Slim and his Praise You with possibly the greatest rock video.
Yeah, it is a great rock video.
Ever made.
Have you seen the juggling one time? That he's just come out with the juggling.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's great. Oh,
he ran a competition and the theme was juggling for his brand new song. And so all these people sent in their ideas of clips and you can see them all on his website. But the one that won is pretty spectacular.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant juggler.
As long as it's good juggling because there's some bad juggling around.
There's a lot of bad juggling, which gets us into, Tom.
Hey, Talkback Mountain! How many jugglers used to come on Hey Hey It's Saturday and have a cat and a chainsaw and go, the natural enemy of the cat, the chainsaw?
Marty Putts.
Marty Putts.
Do you remember Marty Putts?
People go nuts for Marty Putts.
He'd come out in the inflatable Elvis suit.
Yep.
Or he'd put his face through the pizza box. He was a props gag.
Well, is that necessarily shocking, though?
No.
Don't know, because that's what we're looking for today. Things that are, or today, I'm saving time by cutting out random syllables. What have you been appalled by? Who's going first? Richard.
Paul, have you got some shocking TV for us?
Yes, I have. Hey Dad.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
And now it's on Fox Classics, which made me get rid of Foxtel.
The word classics attached to Hey Dad is an issue.
It'll just go forever if they're running, because isn't Hey Dad like the fifth most amount of episodes ever for a sitcom?
Apparently, yes. And Nudge, I don't know what Nudge does these days, but it can't be very much.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know what Nudge does either.
No.
Something about a pub or security guard or something like
that. He never got a spin-off the way Betty did with Hampton Court.
Oh, that's God, jeez. That one, until you said it then, that had gone. That was gone, Ty.
It was a very early, it was like a number 96 Big Brother style.
Hampton Court.
That's not quite good enough for Fox Classics.
Oh, no. Jeez.
Okay, well, that's certainly shocking, but can we go more shocking? Who's next?
Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Great. Now, you have some shocking TV for us?
I'm shocked. As recently as Saturday night at the rugby,
yes,
they showed the All Black lock, Jerry Collins, doing a wee on the field just before he went on, but they panned over to him just as he was shaking the drops off.
Yes, I caught that as well, and it was very unfortunate. He's done that occasional footballer thing of kneeling down and pretending to stretch the hammy when in actual fact he was taking a whiz.
In front of a full house.
Oh, and about probably 10 million viewers.
Right, so how did he think he was going to get away with that?
Don't know.
Yeah. Then they cut away to George Gregan, who I'm sure was just tucking his in after he'd done the same thing.
Georgie wouldn't do that.
That's what it looked like.
It was bad timing. The camera literally panned across as he was literally shaking the old fella off.
I just think Australian television personalities put some pants on.
I mean, it was ordinary gear. It looked like he was wrestling a... Oh, jeez. It's hard to self-edit at this time of the morning, but I did. If it was the afternoon, anything could happen then, Ty.
Python, I think, is the word you're looking for.
It was huge.
Who's going next?
Dan, go ahead. You've got some shocking TV.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you going?
How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. The worst thing I've ever seen, the World Cup edition of the combined footy show that was on a couple of weeks ago. Mm.
And what aspect in particular?
Well, the opening. Simple Minds coming out and performing Don't You Forget About Me, and miming it really badly.
Miming it badly after all these years? It's half of it, as we discovered the other day, is just la, 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 la. How can you not get that right?
Well, if he did the la-las with the microphone actually in front of his mouth, it would have been acceptable.
Oh, right. Was it because Jim Kerr was crouching again?
Oh, he was holding it up in the air and doing the big, you know, fist in the air sort of thing, and singing La 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 at the same time.
Have I told you my Jim Kerr story?
No, let's hear that.
Well, it's very, very briefly. We had Jim Kerr on the shebang, and he was banging on, and we were ha-ha-ha. And anyway, we got around to him saying he was trying to find a pub where he could go and watch his particular soccer game.
Yes.
And so he goes in, and he's sober now. He's cleaned his act up.
Right.
He goes into the pub to watch his soccer game. Standing at the back of the pub, same pub, there's Billy Connolly. Two sober Scottish guys in a pub watching a game of soccer.
Never been seen before.
What is going on with the world?
Put that to where that would be shocking.
That's shocking pub behaviour. That's another phoner.
Oh, that suggests we don't have time for another phoner, Marty.
Is it over?
Yeah, that's all it is.
Jeez, it pings through.
It does.
The sizzle in here.
There's still too much talk, though, I'm told.
Ah, don't worry, Tony. Hopefully they'll forget. They eventually leave you alone.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure they know where our office is yet. That's part of the problem.
I don't know where your office is.
Access. You have to go to. You have to lift a bust, and there's a button, and then the bookcase goes aside, and there's some poles. There's Ed's pole and my pole. Richard still has to use the stairs.
I'm poles.
Thanks for coming in, Marty. It's always great when you come in.
I love it, Ty.
I'm a big fan of the shebang in all states except Adelaide due to an ugly incident we still haven't managed to pin down.
Mm.
But anyway, what's coming up on today's shebang? Give it some sizzle.
Oh, we're sizzling our way through a rehash of Italy winning the World Cup.
Right, German Files?
German Files. There'll be a bit of guess what dog's barking gear. And then Thief.
I love that segment.
Thief in a turn up for the books is going to do the second half of the show nude.
Oh, there you go. She'll have her own TV show before the end of it. And, of course, the new weekly is chockers today.
Oh, we'll be flicking through the mags and I'll be doing some sort of celebrity trash segment.
Excellent. And I think our key phrase today, guys, was, so it's
six of one.
The baker's dozen.
But half a dozen of the other.
Six, well, that would be seven.
And seven and one.
Are those yours on my forehead? And due to an administrative error, we'll be back tomorrow with Greg Fleet again. I don't know how that's happened. It's all thanks to the Mercedes-Benz Racer.